Cliff has the list. Okay. Cliff, Floyd. Okay. Yeah. Okay. She's another old friend, and her daughter is an old friend, and I know they're her grandchildren, one of whom is in the program now, so it's, both of them are in the program. And I met Patty, our last speaker, when she came in. She was very newly sober, and I wasn't very far ahead of her. And she walked in the meeting, and you women will identify with this because all of us are like this, you know, until we reach, you know, spiritual whatever. I haven't got there yet. She walked in, and here's this beautiful woman with this beautiful figure, and I hated her. And I thought, she's probably boring, and she was not ever boring. She raised hell in those meetings forever. Actually, she still does, yes. And I wanted to have her speak tonight. She requested to speak last. She's a terrific speaker, and she's Patty from Fresno.
I got a braille thing. It's called brailing when I touch, you know. Got a braille to find out where I am. I am Patty, and I am an alcoholic.
There's the speaker. Don't hit
okay. It. Don't hit it. Okay. Now I kind of know where I am. Talk about brailing. I was in the program a short time, and my sponsor, she says, Patty, I think it's time that you put your hand out now, and if you want, you know, shake hands with people and that kind of thing. And I think some of the sponsors probably up here suggest that to newcomers. And I says, okay. So I was sitting in the club one night, and as Linda remembers, when you walk in the door of the Alano Club in Fresno, there was a hand railing. And so I was sitting in the table on the other side. And a friend of mine walked in, and I thought, oh, boy, I'm going to try this on her. I'm going to put my hand out. So as she was walking by, I put my hand out to say hi. Oh, and I grabbed her boob. Oh, God. Oh. She said, Patty, I thought you had one problem. And so I haven't put my hand down. One of these days, one of you guys are going to walk by, then I'm going to say hi. Then I'll say, oops, I'm sorry. Anybody that tells me you can't have fun in sobriety, they got to be awful sick. You know, the two previous speakers, they were terrific. And our drunkalogs are our life. You know, that's what got me here. I didn't all of a sudden think, oh, I think I will strut into AA, you know. I had contempt prior to investigation. I think anybody would, coming from the world of drinking, and we don't know what the hell AA is all about. We don't know what they're going to do to us. And we get in there, and you drive into the parking lot. Now, I could see a little bit when I first came into Alcoholics Anonymous. My vision was going, but I could see a little bit. And if you ever looked in the parking lots of a lotto club, oh, those beautiful automobiles. Jesus Christ, the windshields are busted. The windows are out. The doors are wired together. A guy gave me a ride in his pickup, and the goddamn spring hit me in the end of. Oh, and then they say, if you want what we have, you go to any links. God, can you believe that? And I had contempt. But see, they said, if you want what we have, you go to any links. Well, I don't know of any newcomer. And if there is one in here that as soon as you walk through the doors, you immediately see sobriety and serenity. Now, if there's a newcomer in here tonight that immediately saw that, hell, you get up here and speak, honey, and I'm going to sit down. All I saw was those old cars and if you want what we have, you go to any links. And I thought, oh, my God, you people ain't got nothing I want. But then I'd go home, and, oh, the loneliness would set in. I didn't want what I had. And that's a hell of a spot to be in. You know, I did. It was terrible. And I was hurting. God, I was hurting. See, I went through a, ended up in the on the alcoholic ward, make a long story short. And I had my drinking career. Oh, boy, how I had my drinking career. And ended up on the alcoholic ward. And I didn't want to come into Alcoholics Anonymous because, number one, I didn't know what the hell it was all about. And number two, they had meetings at the hospital, and I advanced at the hospital to the keeper of the door. I unlocked the door, let you AA people come into a meeting. And as you went by me, I'd smell alcohol on some of your breath. And then I would listen at the door. I wouldn't go in the meeting. I'd listen at the door. And the same ones that had alcohol on their breath would sit there and say, oh, I'm so grateful to be sober. And I'd think, my God, what liars. And then they said, Patty, you got to go to Alcoholics Anonymous. Oh, God. So finally, I was hurting so bad, I went to one meeting one time. I had about 4 months, and God, I was hurting. Now, you know, I wasn't in AA. I didn't have a sponsor. I didn't know anything about the 12 steps. I didn't have God. Who wanted God? I hated God. You know, God, I had a punishing God. And that's what I was raised with. And I don't know where I got that, but I did. And he was going to get me. And I was sitting in this meeting, and I had a knot in my gut like a football, and it was hurting, and I was irritable and impatient and thought I was going to die and, you know, shaking. And they called on the room. Now, the Alano Club, there's about 75 in this room. And the chairperson, now chair people, secretaries and chair people have a hell of a responsibility, and you really do. And I'm going to share what happened to me, and you'll know why. They went around the room, and, you know, people would say, I was an alcoholic, I'm an alcoholic, and they came to me. And I said, I'm Patty, and I, oh, tell this to a bunch of real alcoholics, I'm Patty, and I have emotional problems. Oh, God. And some old bald-headed bastard, in the, way in the corner, okay, he stood up in his chair and he says, if you have emotional problems, go see a psychiatrist. Now, today, I know what was wrong with him. He hadn't worked his damn steps, okay? All he did was put the plug in the jug, boy, and that was it. And he had no tolerance for newcomers, no patience, no nothing. But I was hurting, so I got up half out of my chair. And, of course, I'm just full of ego and arrogance and pride, and I'm not going to let you people know how I feel, and you know how we are when we come in, and, you know, dumb, stupid, and all that kind of good stuff. And hiding, oh, hiding our feelings. And I love newcomers. You can spot them. Just ask them how they feel, and they'll say, fine. How do you feel today, Patty? Fine. Well, we chop off that fine because we're dying. Now I can say I'm fantastic, and that's neat. But at that time, I got up half out of my chair, and I said, you mean to tell me that I have to say I'm an alcoholic to stay in this meeting? And I didn't say it very kind, and oh, I was, oof, it was terrible. And thank God for the chairperson. His name was Roger. I'll never forget him. He's the reason I'm standing here sober tonight. He said, Patty, do you have a desire not to drink today? I said, yes. He says, sit down. You're in the right place. Now, see, with as much dishonesty as I had and all my arrogance and my pride and my ego, if he hadn't said that, I was, you know what went through my mind when that guy said that? I thought, I don't need you idiots. I'm going to go out and get drunk at you. I'll show you I can drink. And that's what I was going to do. He said, sit down, you're in the right place. And that was, I sat down. And I passed that night. And, you know, it was just, chair people have a hell of a responsibility. And secretaries have a responsibility for the newcomers. Because as a newcomer, we don't know what you want us to say. We don't know what we need to say to stay sober. We know nothing, absolutely nothing. You know, I was a hell of a bookkeeper. Oh, I was a good bookkeeper. I could make 8 financial statements off of 1 set of books. Nobody could catch me. And I did. Borrowed a whole lot of money off of all kinds of phony financial statements. But I didn't know the first thing about dealing with my emotions. I didn't know the first thing about love. Now, I thought I did. But coming in day A, see, I've learned all this in AA. Hell, I was in lust all the time. I didn't know that. I thought it was love. It was lust, and I called it love, and I got married a lot of times because I thought I was in love and it was lust. I did a lot of things under lust. Oh, God. I ended up in motel rooms. Didn't even know their names. I don't know if I had sex or not. I don't even know if it was good or bad. No idea. All I knew, I was lonely. And you men, you know, you don't have a monopoly on this. You know, you go into a cocktail lounge and you first walk in, and goddamn, the men aren't good looking at all. But come 1:30, you change into Prince Charming's. Boy, you're good looking. Because eeny, meeny, miny, moe, I ain't going to spend the night alone. I was too lonely. And so I would wake up, and then I'd reach over, and I'd feel, and goddamn, there'd be a body, and I'd think, oh, my God, what have I done? And then I knew if I reached over here, I'd find a scotch bottle, and I always did. Not down that, feeling guilty and remorseful, and I'd, you know, get big slugs of that. And then I'll think, oh, well, that wasn't too bad. And I'd do it all over again. I'd call my daughter to come and get me in hell. She says, Mom, where are you? I said, I don't know. I couldn't see to find an address. Hell, I couldn't even. Oh, God. It took me an hour to find the bathroom sometimes. I should always find me. Always find me. I'm coming in Alcoholics Anonymous. You know, I've heard in AA, I'll share with you some of the things that I've learned in Alcoholics Anonymous, okay? I was 2 months sober, and probably 5 months, because I was in AA then. And I'd go to the Alano Club, and there'd be a lot of cars out there, and I'd walk into the club, and there wouldn't be too many people. And I'm so glad that I had my bubble busted. Because, see, I thought if you had sobriety, you were saints. I even thought Fred was a saint. But I thought, you know, sobriety, you're saints. And it's awesome. I mean, I get to talk to someone with sobriety. Well, hell, I discovered that AA is a little Peyton place, for Christ's sakes. Yeah. You can find any damn thing you want in AA. You can find, I can name it. Hell, you can find a one-night stand. You can find, you can find emotional involvements. And I don't know when that's going to lead you, but you can find it. You can be mingles. The Fresno Bee calls us mingles. We're not single. We're not married. We're mingles. And I understand, so the girls tell me, there's sports sex in AA, okay? And there's also sobriety. You can find anything you want, you know, and you men get the idea when something young and pretty walks in that you got to protect her. For what? For yourself? There ain't no virgins that walk through the door of Alcoholics Anonymous, male or female. God damn. What the hell do you think you can, what do we think got us here? We're sick. And then the women, these good-looking guys that come in, they're going to save them. Nobody's going to screw their head up. No, uh-uh. We got to save you because you're virgins. Yeah, oof. We're so sick. We think we belong to a group. We think now we're in this group, and this group is terrific, and this is my home group. And we start to get real honest, and it's a terrific meeting, and we start sharing our innermost selves. And before we get home, the phone's ringing off the hook, and somebody tells us what the hell we've said. And then we get mad and we go back and we say, I said this in a meeting. And now it's all over AA. You people let me down. Oh, Christ, we're sick. We're not saints in meetings. We are sick people trying to stay sober. And yes, we gossip. Try to stop people from gossiping. Hell, we'd all commit suicide. If I didn't talk about you and put you down to make me feel good, where in the hell would I be? And if it means me talking about you to stay sober, baby, I'm going to talk about you. They say, don't take my inventory. Well, hell, I'm guys, well, you're not taking it. Right? So if you have some innermost secrets, honey, save it for your sponsor. Don't spread it around the tables. Christ, everybody's going to know about it. Yeah. And then you're going to get hurt, and then that's going to be a good excuse to go get drunk. God, we look for excuses, don't we? Because we're hurting. But so there's no saints. But you know what? We are. We're pure virgins when we do walk in, though. Because we're doing things for the first time sober, and that's scary. Get married sober. Scare the hell out of you. I did. And have you ever tried to dance sober? Ooh, boy, stiff like little wooden soldiers, you know. Stiff. I might fall and somebody's going to see me and my ego says, no, no, no. Do like I do, just don't dance. And the 10th step says, we promptly admit when we're wrong. Well, now, if you read on a little further down the step, I love the 10th step. You know what it says? We promptly admit to ourselves always when we're wrong. And we admit to others if we find it helpful. Well, I don't find it very damn helpful, so I don't admit it. Uh-uh. See, you can have fun in Alcoholics Anonymous. As long as you don't take it too serious. There was a fellow here about 3 months ago. He was secretary of a Sunday meeting. And he admitted in the Sunday meeting that he had been nipping and drinking for 3 years. He celebrated his birthdays, got his chips. Oh, my God. He lied. He lied to, well, goddamn, who doesn't come in liars? Aren't we? You know what he suffered from? You know what his problem was? He suffered from alcoholism. Alcoholism. He didn't lie to anybody but himself. Why do we go to meetings? To condemn people who lie? To criticize and judge? I don't know about you, but sometimes I do. But it doesn't do me any good. I don't go there to count your days of sobriety. I don't care if you're nipping or not. It's your, hell, it's your ass, not mine. I go there to keep me sober. I go there to watch you make an ass of yourself so I don't do the same thing you do. You know, if I don't want what you have, baby, I ain't gonna do what you do. Now, if I want what you have, I'm gonna try my damnedest to do what you do. You know, if you want to be a millionaire, you damn sure don't go ask a ditch digger how do you be a millionaire, right? If you want to know how to stay sober, you watch what the people that are staying sober do, and then you do what they do. You work the program the AA way, the first 164 pages of the Big Book of Alcoholics Anonymous. That's the program of Alcoholics Anonymous. Our fellowships are the meetings. They're potlucks. They're speaker meetings. The fellowship changes. You know, it'll change, and we don't like the change, but it changes. But the Big Book never changes. Now, I don't know about you people, but I try to work to the very best of my ability the Big Book of Alcoholics Anonymous, the AA program. And in the second step in the 12 and 12, the last paragraph of the second step, the last two lines of the second step says, every AA meeting is going to restore us to sanity. Now, that's an assurance that we're going to be restored to sanity. Every AA meeting, I go to a lot of meetings. I need to be restored to sanity. In the first step, the first paragraph, the third line of the first paragraph says, and there's not one person in this room, if you're a real alcoholic, that'll admit this. We admit we're powerless over alcohol, that our lives have become unmanageable. That's the first step. And I said, man, I worked that first step. And after 5 or 6 years, 7 years, I thought, hell, I haven't worked the first step. It says we have warped our minds into such destructive drinking that only an act of providence can help us. Who in the hell, what egomaniac like us going to admit well, our minds are warped? Not me. I'll admit I'm powerless over alcohol, but my mind ain't warped. I'm sober today. I'm well. God. We've warped our minds. Anytime. We wonder what we're going to say, you know, when our friends offer us a drink in the beginning of our sobriety. We think, you know, how can I turn it down? What am I going to say? On and on and on. And that's a tough thing because your friends are drinking and you can't give up your friends. And you don't have to worry about it because they're going to give you up. They don't want a sober idiot running around. they want a drunken fool. Right. I went to this cocktail party early in my sobriety. And this gal, I made the mistake of ordering a cup of coffee. And instead of having a soda or something, then she'd have thought I had a drink. She'd left me alone, but I had this coffee. And she says, Patty, have a drink. And I says, no, my coffee's fine. No, I don't want one. She says, oh, come on, have a drink. And I said, no. And she kept that up for a little while. And finally, I said, if I have a drink, I'll get drunk. She says, well, I get a little drunky, too. I says, yeah, honey, but if I get a little drunky, I'll screw your husband. She says, don't have any, and her husband said, have two. God. Oh, that was neat. That was real neat. Oh, God. I think the worst thing in my sobriety that was the most difficult for me to handle, besides me was my problem, but besides me was this damn blindness. And I futured what it'd be like being totally blind, and it was scary. Everything was going to be black and all. Whew. Don't future a damn thing, because it never turns out that way. You can get scared like I did, and you can future, but it never turns out like we future it to be. And I would get into rages. I'd get into self-pity. And I ended up in my sponsor's backyard one day. Now, this is how sick I was, really. And I was crouched in a corner of her backyard, sitting on the ground, hating her cute little toy dog because her dog could see. You know, that's sick. And, you know, and I was sick. I had a warped mind, but I didn't know it. I didn't know it. And I have two sponsors in AA, and I still have my same two sponsors. And I love them both. I admire them. They say, this is sick. They say, don't put your sponsors on pedestals, you know. You got to stand on your own 2 feet. You can't call, well, bullshit, okay? I wanted to say bullshit and shine oil, but that don't go together. I have my sponsors on a pedestal. Now, I know they have character defects. I know they, you know, I know that. But they're on pedestals, and I love it. I pray for them every night. Okay? They're, without sponsors, I couldn't have made this program. There's no way I could have worked those steps, guided myself with my warped mind through those steps, and stayed sober. I would have twisted them. I wouldn't have understood them. Without sponsors, I'd have been screwed. My one sponsor, and I admire her for this. I just love her for it. She says, Patty, I can't help you with your blindness. I'm not blind. She says, but if you want to stay sober, I can guide you through the 12 steps of Alcoholics Anonymous and help you to help yourself work the AA program. And how many of you heard people that come up and they'll say, well, I know how you feel. Nobody knows how we feel. There are feelings. It's like me with two arms going up to a guy with one arm and saying, oh, I know how you feel. Your fingers itch, don't they? Because I've heard it, but I haven't felt it. But she was honest with me. Honesty is just such a beautiful commodity that we have in Alcoholics Anonymous, to be honest. To be honest within ourselves. To be honest as we can. I don't have to be honest to you people. I got to be honest to me. You know, if I'm honestly going to lie, I can't say, well, I have a right to, and I'm going to rationalize it. I say, okay, so I'm going to lie. You know, and admit it. All I have to do is admit it to myself. Sharon says, Mom, you're jealous. And I say, yeah, I know it. And it's okay. See, I'm jealous. I'm vain. God damn, I'm vain. You know, I really am. Oh, I'm so vain. I tell Sharon, don't you let me get out of this house with a spot on my clothes, you know. Just, I am vain. That. And I get into lust occasionally, and I know that. But I don't pretend anymore. I'm not the same me on a daily basis. Every morning I wake up and I'm a different me, and I have all these personalities, and I love every damn one of them. And some days I can be a saint. I wouldn't say shit if I had a mouthful. Honest to God, I am so saintly, and everything is so beautiful, and oh, God is just the greatest, and it's beautiful. And then I can get in my shit-kicking moods, you know, and I can just, choo, wow. You know, all these different personalities, and yeah, at first I was concerned about them, but hell, if you've got them, you might as well accept it. And then learn to enjoy them. I can kind of, I enjoy me today. I can enjoy me. There was a time that I couldn't stand to be alone with me and my thoughts. Now, I absolutely could not stand to be alone. After I was in AA a couple of years, I got into a tremendous amount of fear. And I couldn't figure it out. I couldn't figure out the fear. And I'd be going to meetings, and I'd think, now I can't really share the way I feel because there's newcomers here, and I can't let them know I'm still screwed up after 2 years in this program. I that can't be. And so that went on for a month, and I was just kind of mouthing my program. And I've worked it out with my sponsor. And you know what I was in? Fear, F-E-A-R, frantic effort to appear recovered. God, how sick can you get? Well, from that day on, and I suffered. From that day on, I'm honest in a meeting. I'm honest about everything I say. And a year from now, I'll be more honest. Okay? I'll have spiritual awakenings, and my honesty is going to get deeper and deeper. My concept of God has changed. He's beautiful. And I have a good rapport with God. I like being intuitively guided. I love the program of Alcoholics Anonymous. I love it when, oh, we come in and God, we've got such a beautiful program. We got 30 days. We got a beautiful program. And we want to share it with somebody, don't we? God, or we have maybe 60 days. And we want to hold hands and share this with the opposite sex and have a meaningful relationship, 60 days, right? What we're saying is we want to play warden, and we want to take a prisoner. Tell me something, but when you play warden, you know, you're a prisoner because you got to watch him. He may look at another woman. He may hug too long. You know, we're all huggers in AA, and I think some of us just love the hell out of it. And I think some of us kind of do it in a saintly way, but hell, we're all sick. We came out of bottles. There's no saints in Alcoholics Anonymous. No saints at all. And if a person drinks, please remember this. We're not here to judge them. They haven't lied to us like this kid did. He lied to himself. We must remember that. And we're not saints. You know, I'm honest by omission and commission. I'm only honest to myself. And I have to be honest about that and admit that. The 10th step says a whole big bunch of things. The 4th and 5th step, I learned a lot about myself. And I've learned not to take life too damn serious. I've learned that if we take life real serious and we get into a lot of serious stuff, which I have done, you know, then all of a sudden we become bored. And we think, well, if this is all there is to sobriety, screw it. Or just get a cold. God damn, I've got a cold and I'm sober. I shouldn't get a cold. And we want to go out and get drunk. We have a lot of excuses on a lot of things to get us drunk. You know, but if I'll tell you, really, if we can bypass the 13 steppers and bypass screwed up sponsors and bypass all that, you know, we can stay sober in Alcoholics Anonymous. There's a few of us that are staying sober that can prove that. I don't know how in the hell we do it. I'm going to ask Linda after the meeting, but we do stay sober. People ask me, Patty, you know, how do you stay sober? Do you get into service and do you get into H&I and all that kind of good stuff? I said, hell no, I just don't drink one day at a time. That's how I stay sober. It doesn't take too smart of a chimpanzee to know how you stay sober. You don't drink. You can't get drunk if you don't drink. Right? However, how do you keep from blowing your brains out? You get a sponsor, you go to a hell of a lot of meetings, you get into service, and you work the program. But the way you stay sober, you just don't drink. You know, it gets real, real simple. Real simple. Then you work the 12 steps of Alcoholics Anonymous. People sit around, they've been here 4 or 5 months, 6 months, and they don't have a sponsor, and they're sitting around, and they're whining, and what am I going to do? What are you going to do? You do what the AA program tells you to do. If you want to be happy, joyous, and free. Now, you can stay miserable and gloomy. See, it's our choice. We can do anything we want to do. Anything we want to do, we can do. And that's beautiful. We have choices today. You know, there's a little story about this guy, this father that was sitting in his easy chair, and his little son kept pestering him, and he was reading the paper. And so there was a globe of the world, so he tore the page out and kind of tore it in a few pieces and gave it to his son. And he said, you know, go put this together. Well, his little boy come running back in. And his dad says, how'd you get that together so fast? He said, there was a man on the other side of the page. He says, I put the man together and his world fell into place. Mm-hmm. Now, that's what the 12 Steps of Alcoholics Anonymous has done for me. It's opened up the gates of my hell and let me out. And now it's opening up the gates of heaven and letting me in. And believe me, when they say sinners can't go to heaven, how in the hell they know? I haven't seen anyone come back from heaven telling me a sinner can't go. I'm a sinner and I'm going to go to heaven. It's done unto me as I believe. And what does the second step say? You know, when the churches, they told me, well, they didn't tell me. This is what I heard. Maybe they didn't say this, but this is what I heard. You know, after 48 different churches through my lifetime, I have been dunked, I've been sprinkled, I've been baptized, I've been immersed. I even took a damn walk in the river trying to be saved. And you know what I felt? Wet. That's all I felt was wet. Yeah, but I'd hear these ministers that say, if you drink and you're a drunkard, you're going to go to hell and burn. And I knew I drank, and I was going to go to hell and burn. And I got a little scared. And then they said, if you commit adultery, you're going to go to hell and burn. Hell, I knew I had. I'm going to go to hell and burn. If you get lustful and look at other men, even if you look at them, you don't have to touch them. Just look at them. You're going to go to hell and burn. Oh, God. I knew I was going to go to hell and I was going to burn. And I love, God, I just love the steps, especially the 10th step of Alcoholics Anonymous. Because in the 6th and 7th step, you know what Alcoholics Anonymous is? Taught me, I'm not a sinner. I have character defects, and I just love the hell out of my character defects, because you know why? They made me do it. See, they made me do it. If I hadn't had character defects and shortcomings, I wouldn't have done what I did. So now all I have to do is just turn them all over to God, and hell, I'm going to go to heaven. Isn't that neat? I just love the hell out of it. Am I running out of time here? I believe you. I know that we've run over, haven't we? The whole meeting. But, boop! You heard about John the Baptist? You know, the Bible talks about John the Baptist, this guy that eats wild oats or whatever, and he runs through the wild and yelling that Jesus is coming. He's called John the Baptist. You know why he got his head chopped off? Because he didn't know when to keep his mouth shut. So every once in a while, my daughter says, okay, John. So now that I've ruined your meetings and you can't confide in meetings, because by the time you get home, your telephone's going to ring. They're going to tell you what you said. So now you got to be secretive. And I told you that it's a little patent place. Now I'm going to tell you something else. It's a beautiful program. As long as we accept it as it is and as we are. And I want you to accept something else. That we were born winners. And you know how I know that? Because, oh, you guys, you're just going to die. Do you remember back when you were sperm? $200 million of us. Eject. Boom. Right? There's 200 million of us, and we're all racing for that damn little egg. And we're falling dead right and left, going up this channel trying to get to that egg, right? And only one makes it. Who was it? Oh, thank you. I love y'all. Thank you.